Well, I retired, my first retirement that was, 6 years ago. I was head teacher of a school. And I was glad to have a rest. I thought I'd buy a set of golf clubs. Can you hear me? So I bought a set of golf clubs. I mean, you've got to when you retire, haven't you? Everybody plays golf, so I was told. So I went out and actually went on eBay and got a lovely pair of second-hand golf clubs. I think the postage cost me more than the golf clubs because they came in a big leather bag. And I had virtually every club going in this bag. It was full. Well, my wife said, put them in the garage. So I did. And that's there where they've been, gathering dust. Gathering dust for the last 6 years. You see, I had no purpose for them. I was far too busy in retirement to wrestle away from other interests that I had to get myself out onto a golf course. And so a local charity shop last week in Chard with the recipients of this splendid pair of golf clubs, took me ages to clean them. And I hope they got some good money for them towards what is a very worthy cause. I just didn't have any purpose for these golf clubs. So my wife, nagging me again, said, why have you got them still? Get rid of them. They don't fulfil any purpose in your life. So I did. There's a wonderful story of a Scotsman who was demonstrating the new game of golf to the famous American president, Ulysses S. Grant. This would have been about the 1870s, back in the 19th century. They chose a rookie golfer to show him how to play the game. A rookie, of course, hasn't played too much himself. It was a new game, just started to get going golf. And so the Scotsman came forward and he took an almighty swing. Well, the club hit the turf and scattered dust and dirt all over the president's beard. The ball just sat there on the tee, totally undisturbed. Well, the Scotsman came up again, swung his club again. Again, it hit the ground. Dust and dirt flew up, and the president just watched and waited patiently. Four more swings took place, four more misses. And then Ulysses S. Grant quietly said, there seems to be a fair amount of exercise involved in this new game, but I fail to see what's the purpose of the ball. It's a nice story, isn't it? True story. I looked it up even this morning just to check it out. And if you look at the biography of Ulysses S. Grant, you'll find that story somewhere along the line. There seems to be a fair amount of exercise involved in life itself. Lots of activity. But what's the purpose of it all? We can ask. We're involved in activities and sometimes we seem to make little progress. We don't seem to be going anywhere, making no progress at all. In the business of life, what are we really getting out of it? Where are we going? Is there a purpose to it all? Purpose gives meaning to our lives. Are you living a fulfilled life at the moment? Or are you just existing? Jesus said, I have come to give you life, and life in all of its fullness. John 10, verse 10. And living, if you look in the dictionary, is defined as it's vigorous, it's alive, it's full of life. And then you look at existing in the Bible, the dictionary, and that's defined as just being there. You're just there if you exist. If we're honest with ourselves, we often lapse into existing. We get snowed under with the burdens of life, rather than living it out to the full. We just simply exist. We're there. The message we read out was read to us from Matthew 11, and I read out a bit earlier than that, is an invitation. It's called the invitation, that passage. But many people make a mistake. They do see that following Jesus Christ is a burden. It's a demand on your life. And it's actually a free invitation. And it's the complete opposite of being burdened and following rules and regulations all the time, which many people think Christianity is about. Jesus says, come to me and share your burdens with me. Come to me, all you who are weary. I'm going to read it again because it's such a powerful verse in the Bible, this. Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Burdens, cares, worries, many things in life weigh us down. We might live in one of the richest countries in the world, and we do. You can check out the figures. Look at the GNP lists, and you'll find Britain's certainly in the top 10 of many of the lists. We're rich. But we also are high in the stress level league table. Isn't that interesting? If you go apparently to parts of the world, say poor places in India or in Africa, and you go to the slums there and you see people with nothing. They haven't got a car, they haven't got a telephone, a TV, they haven't got a house to live in that's decent. They haven't got even fresh water to drink. But they don't seem to be too stressed. Isn't that interesting? They haven't got cares and worries about cars and, you know, all the trappings, TVs breaking down or whatever, because they don't have them. Sounds wonderful, but it's not, is it? None of us would like to go and live in a slum. But we do live in a high stress level country. We also work long hours. Do you know we work some of the longest hours in Europe of any country in this country? We don't take 2-hour siestas at lunchtime like they do in Spain and Italy and places like that. In Greece, it's about 4 hours. I looked at the average commute into London. I worked as a deputy head in a London comprehensive for a few years. And the average commute now to get people into London is 71 minutes, apparently, each way. So they spend 142 minutes in their car, on a train, getting into the city every day. Quite stressful, that, when the train is packed and you can't get a seat. We've got a very relatively high cost of living, very high cost of housing. My three children are all in their 30s. None of them have managed yet to get on the housing ladder. It's difficult. Very difficult. We have very high crime rates. And we have a very high density of population. It was announced a week ago that the increase in population last year was over 500,000 for the UK. So it's easy for us to get down about all this, isn't it? And think, oh, this is burdensome. And we become heavy laden. Where am I going and what's life all about? What's its purpose? These were questions that troubled me personally. So I'm going to give you a little bit of a personal testimony now. Back in 1982, long time ago now, I was quite burdened. I was a young teacher. I suppose I was okay with a nice job in the sense. I taught in a very, very difficult school in Salford. and just come out of it and got a wonderful job in Weymouth. Quite a difference. But I had a wife who was pregnant, and we were struggling with accommodation ourselves at the time to find some. And, oh, I was just up to here, you know, worrying. And I was brought up a Christian. I went to Sunday school regularly in church till I was in the teenage years, of course, and then I drifted away, like many people do. And then at the age of 30, 31, my wife and I decided to go back to church. There must be something more to life than what we've been existing in. And so we did, and it was wonderful. We heard God's word again, and we got very excited about the church that we were in. I ended up leading a mission to Eastern Europe, which was very interesting, taking Bibles out there. And I also became a lay preacher at the time too, later a pastor of the church. I understood that in that verse that was read, Jesus wanted to be part of my life and take on board those troubles and burdens that I was wrestling with. Wow. When I heard that verse, probably around 1982, again, it was just music to my ears, hearing that Jesus cared so much for me personally, and he wanted me to talk to him about any troubles I had, any worries I had. He didn't want me to be anxious. It was mind-blowing at the time, I remember. I felt a weight lifted off me that Jesus was going to help me in life. And it was true. He did. One day, just a tremendous relief, I remember, came. And it hit me. He didn't want me to lead a stressful life anymore. Wow. What a revelation. And it made sense. It was true. I could see. People around me convinced me too. Mature Christians at the time. And they told me, he's also got a purpose for your life. He won't just say, I'll take your burdens and release you from them. He's going to give you things to do in the church. And so he did. With a mission and even preaching in quite a large church it was too. But he didn't want me to be stressed. And I wanted to follow him. And I wanted to trust him. And I did. The most interesting thing was that he seemed to want me to go further. Now, I was just an ordinary teacher at the time. I was earning reasonable pay, but I hadn't got any particular titles. I was teaching maths and computer science at the time mainly. And it was okay in that respect, you know. Kids were quite difficult at the time, especially in Salford. But I was getting by in the teaching. And then the head called me in one day and said, it's totally out of the blue, sat there with the deputy head and said, we think you need to get some responsibility. Whoa, I don't want any more responsibility. I'm quite happy. No, they said, you should be taking on board more responsibility in your job. I'm only young. I'm only 32 or something. No. We recognise you need to be at least a deputy head. What? A deputy head of a big school? Well, that's probably a minimum. You really ought to be a head teacher one day. I was staggered. I came out of the head's office in this large comprehensive in Dorset thinking, my goodness, that can't be true, surely. So I went away and prayed about it. I've got enough responsibility, enough burdens, enough worries without getting into anything as big as that. And then another Christian teacher, a deputy head, came up to me and said, here's a book, Paul. I want you to read it. And it had a simple title, Headmaster. And so God was gradually, obviously, moving me forward. But I thought, wow, I'm going to come across some big burdens now, some real trouble. But he was there to assure me that he would be with me along the way. And so things happened fairly quickly, actually. And I moved on and became a deputy head fairly quickly in a school in London, a Church of England school, a large comprehensive, a boys' school, largely Afro-Caribbean population of the school, 500 boys who would be Afro-Caribbean out of 550. So that was interesting and a challenge, particularly with behaviour. And then I became head teacher of a school in Somerset later on and was head there for quite a long time. But he was with me along the way, and he was taking the stress with me too. I had to learn to trust him. I had to learn to hang on to that scripture. Come to me when you're troubled. Cast your burdens upon me when you're anxious, when you're worried. When you've got a difficult decision to make, which of course you always have when you're in a position of authority in a school. You've got many, many burdens and decisions to make, which are never easy. But we always started with a prayer time in the school. And that was tremendous when we released things that we were worried about to the Lord every day. And that made a huge, huge difference. And we need to do that in our personal lives, don't we? We need to talk to the Lord daily about our worries and our cares, and he will lift them from us. The Bible tells us he alone is sufficient for all of our needs. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. My grace is all that you need. My power, though, works best in weakness. That's interesting, isn't it? We're not very strong, are we, as human beings? My power works best in weakness. When we acknowledge we're weak and fallible and just ordinary human beings, but Jesus isn't, of course. He's all-powerful. He's all-seeing, isn't he? Omnipotent, omniscient, and someone who knows everything, not just about us, but he knows everything about everything there is in the world today. Almighty God. And then when you get rest, you also get freedom. You also get purpose in your life. Life has a meaning. And gradually life becomes much, much, much more fulfilled as a result. Billy Graham wrote a book entitled Peace with God, a long time ago now. And we also find peace when we meet with the Lord Jesus and when we follow him in our lives. He gives us a peace, the Bible says, which passes all understanding. It's difficult for the world out there to understand it, the peace that we have when we are following Jesus. A relationship with God means life isn't meaningless. It's not wearisome. It's not full of toil. It becomes full of spiritual productivity and purpose, and our life begins to enter into that period of fullness which Jesus talks about and which he promises to us. So I'll stop about there, I think. The clock says nearly 11:30, but I think it's a little fast. If you haven't committed your life to the Lord yet and you'd like to, if you've got burdens this morning and you'd like to just pray with somebody, I'd only be too happy to be around at the end of the service and to pray with you. Let's pray now. Lord, we thank you that you came into the world so that we might have life in you and life in all its fullness. Lord, the weariness of life is often though around us. The difficulties and the troubles that we see in our country are around us and can weigh us down. And Lord, we thank you that you want to lighten our burdens and you want to be there with us along life's way. So we thank you, Lord, for who you are, that you are Almighty God. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. And nothing is too difficult for you, Lord Jesus, to help us with. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.